This is VOA News. I'm Christina Menenti. An Israeli airstrike on a Gaza school compound killed around 100 people, Gaza Civil Emergency Services said on Saturday. AP correspondent Lawrence Brooks reports.
This building in Gaza City used to be a school. Then it was a shelter. Now it's just rubble. An Israeli airstrike hit the building on Saturday morning, killing at least 80 people. It's one of the deadliest strikes in the 10-month-old war between Israel and Hamas. Now concrete chunks and twisted metal lay atop a blood-soaked floor. The Israeli military has acknowledged the strike, claiming it's hit a Hamas command center within the school, something Hamas denies. One witness says the strike hit without warning before sunrise, as people were praying at a mosque inside. The strike comes as American, Qatari, and Egyptian mediators renew their push for a ceasefire agreement. I'm Lawrence Brooks.
The White House says they are deeply concerned about reports of civilian casualties and are awaiting more information from Israel. Brazilian authorities are working to piece together what exactly caused a plane crash in Sao Paulo. Ryan Cheng from Reuters has more.
Brazilian carrier Volpas, which operated the plane, said there were 57 passengers in total and four crew members on board. A local news outlet interviewed two men who said they missed their flight. Flight tracking software showed the plane's path. It took off from Cascavel in the state of Paraná and was bound for Sao Paulo's international airport. It entered an unusual final circling motion before hitting the ground in the town of Vinhedo, some 50 miles northwest of Sao Paulo. A Brazilian aviation engineer told Reuters that a buildup of ice could have caused the plane to stall and spiral in the way it did, but investigators say it's too early to determine the cause of the crash.
Ryan Chang from Reuters. This is VOA News. Ukrainian tanks were seen driving in the Sumy region near the border with Russia on Saturday as intense battles raged after Ukraine's biggest attack on Russian sovereign territory since the start of the war in 2022. AP correspondent Naeon Kim has more.
The Russian military is sending reinforcements to the western border town 4 days after the surprise Ukrainian operation, which appears to be Kyiv's biggest attack on Russian soil since the war began. Emergency shelters have been set up, with food, diapers and other supplies being sent to Kursk. Meanwhile, Ukrainian emergency services are cleaning up a shopping mall which was hit by a Russian missile in the middle of the day. At least 12 people were killed. It's the second major strike on the town of Kostya-Tinivka in the eastern Donetsk region in almost a year. I'm Naeon Kim.
In a sign of the gravity of the situation, Russia evacuated 76,000 people in the Kursk region, while Belarus said it had repelled what it thinks was a major drone attack from Ukraine. Belarus's foreign ministry told Kyiv to take measures against airspace violations, Russia's TASS news agency reported. Debbie finally moved out of the United States, though risk from flooded rivers remains. AP's Julie Walker reports.
Parts of the Northeast were left with major flooding after Tropical Storm Debbie made its final stop before leaving the U.S. Westfield, Pennsylvania resident Cindy Pierce.
We lost everything down back, swimming pool, kids, swing set. But our house is safe and we're safe. That's all that matters.
Debbie came ashore as a hurricane in Florida Monday before being downgraded. Officials say the death toll is at least 9, most in vehicle accidents or from fallen trees. I'm Julie Walker.
Anti-racism demonstrators gathered on Liverpool's waterfront on Saturday, counter-protesting after nearly 2 weeks of anti-immigration protests and rioting across England. Jackie Bell doesn't want any more violence in her city.
It's really important that we come out and show that we are a united city. The city will not tolerate violence. You can take all the politics out of it, but ultimately, I don't want my city ransacked by thugs.
Demonstrators carried signs welcoming refugees, calling for open borders, and opposing what they see as racism and Islamophobia in the anti-immigration protests which broke out in late July. John Brown is one of them.
Without doubt, you can't just let them go out on the streets and think that they've got this, you know, they've got the place to themselves. You've got to demonstrate that they're a tiny minority.
The protests were sparked by online posts falsely identifying the suspected killer of three young girls as an Islamist migrant. I'm Christina Menenti, VOA.